able to personally say that I appreciate all of y'all coming out tonight and going to the trouble of coming and driving over here and spending the time listening to us speak. Jason and I both think this is a Bible study. Both sides have heard. We're not enemies. We're friends. It's a good way to get a good Bible study. Let me begin by showing you my approach to Jason's reading in this debate. Jason has brought a number of passages, and I'm going to try to get to every one of them. I doubt I'll be able to get to all of these in my first speech. But I can summarize what my answer will be to all of them with this chart. All of Jason's passages can be classified one of three ways, okay? Either the passage mentions what was said orally, but it does not mention water baptism. Sometimes the passages he has mentioned what was said orally. They don't mention water baptism. Acts 15, verse 17, I believe, is an example of that. Now, if the passage does mention water baptism, then it does not tell what the baptizer said orally. In other words, it never said what was said. Or some of the passages Jason mentioned say neither. For example, raise it up, Wayne. Here, so I tried to circle or either line in, classify just about every passage Jason used. I'm sure I missed some of them. But Acts 15, verse 17 does mention what somebody said. It talks about something being called over somebody or upon somebody. But it doesn't mention water baptism. As a matter of fact, baptism is not mentioned in the whole chapter of Acts 15. How do you know, Jason, that that has anything to do with water baptism? Say that I grant to you that it's talking about something that's called over somebody. How would you have any idea in the world that it's talking about water baptism? James 2:7 is the same way. Mentions, I believe, what was said, but it doesn't mention water baptism. Not anywhere in the whole chapter. Mark 13, that's an interesting one, verse 6. Definitely mentions what was said. I am Christ. Saying I am Christ doesn't mention water baptism. Of course, if James' position were true, then the baptismal formula would be Christ. But so they came in Christ's name, saying I am Christ. It didn't say Jesus. And here's some examples from passages he used that mention that they don't mention what was said, but they do mention baptism. Matthew 28:19 mentions baptism, doesn't mention what was said. Acts 22:16 mentions baptism, doesn't mention what was said. Mark 16:17 mentions neither baptism or what was said. Luke 24:47 mentions neither baptism nor what was said. All the Jeremiah passages he used, not a single one of them mentioned baptism or what was said. And of course, the issue here is just like you said, is what does the end of the name mean? In Luke 9:49, does not mention baptism nor mention what was said. Now, what we need is another column, Jason, where we have at least, we need a passage that mentions both baptism and what was said. Now, if you've got that, you might have a point. We'll look at that and see that teaches that the baptizer actually said something when they were baptized. But you need a passage that mentions baptism and what was said. Now, show me first chart, number 3. Number 3, this basic chart is trying to point out that in the name is singular. In the name is singular. In other words, it doesn't say in the name. For example, Matthew 20, verse 19 says, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It doesn't say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And put up a next chart. I believe this point is the same in chart number 4, that the word name is singular. Okay? So that's his argument that the name is singular in some of these passages. It doesn't say name. Plural to the name singular. I don't know what that would prove, but put up my number 22. Number 22. Everybody turn. Here's his argument. The word name in Matthew 28:19 in these other passages being singular shows that Jesus is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Not only the name of the Son, but the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Everybody turn to Genesis chapter 48, verse 16. Notice that passage. I'm picking up the middle of the verse where it says, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Did you see that? Now, it's definitely talking about Abraham and Isaac. But it doesn't say names, plural. It says the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Do you see the point? You don't have to have names singular to be talking about two names, Jason. Now, you knew about that passage because you've heard enough debate to know that. You know that based on that passage, your argument doesn't prove anything, Jason. But even if this weren't so, Jason, even if what you were saying was so, that Jesus is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In other words, even if the name of the Father and Holy Ghost is Jesus, what does that prove about what we're debating tonight? Now, that may be on the one person in the Godhead proposition may relate to that, but doesn't relate to this one. Even if I were to grant that the name of the Father, God the Father, is Jesus, which I don't grant that, but even if I were, it wouldn't prove what the baptizer is supposed to say when he baptizes somebody, Jason. What you need is a passage that talks about what the baptizer said when he baptizes somebody. We don't have that. Now put up here number 5. We don't have a single passage in the New Testament or in the Old that tells what the baptizer said.
We don't know what they said. He doesn't even talk about what they ate for lunch. It probably doesn't say that the baptizer said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. It doesn't say that. Every time we read about baptism, it does not record what the baptizer said. Now, here's the chart. In the name does not mean by the authority. Put up number 35, and hopefully I'll explain what the point of that chart is with my chart, number 35. What he's trying to do is he's pointing out passages in Jeremiah and things like that to talk about somebody falsely prophesying in God's name. Okay? For example, one of them he brought up was Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 29. If everybody'd like to turn there, that would be a good example. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 9, excuse me. It says, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. And he would ask you the question, and he did. Did they prophesy by the authority of God? And answer, no. Therefore, he reasons, when the name of it doesn't mean by the authority. That's his reasoning. No, Jason, this actually proves my point. All these passages prove my point. Now, get this audience. Listen carefully, and you can understand this. Okay? This proves that saying that you're doing something in Jesus' name and actually doing it in his name are two different things. According to my opponent's reasoning, these people were saying that they were coming in the Lord's name. For example, Matthew 24, verse 5 and Mark 13, verse 6, which is on that chart. But they weren't. In other words, they were coming along saying, they were saying, we're prophesying in the name of the Lord. That's what he thinks they were saying. But they weren't. He says that they weren't. They weren't doing it. That shows that actually doing something in God's name and saying that you're doing it in his name are two different things. Now, I'm going by his own reason. A person can say, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. The Mormons might say that. But they're not actually doing it in the name of the Lord. They're not actually doing it by his authority. What that proves is that saying you're doing it in the name and actually doing it in the name are two different things. Now, Jason relates that to a passage like Acts 2, verse 38. When it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. We've just shown by his own passages that saying that you're doing it by the name of Jesus and actually doing it in the name of Jesus are two different things. And so in Acts 2:38, when it says to baptize in the name of Jesus, it's not talking about what the baptizer is to say, because we've just learned that saying you're doing it in his name and doing it in his name are two different things. Jason, these folks were pretenders. Raise it up. The Bible calls him prophets. Everybody turn to Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 4. He said, if their pastor said they weren't actually doing it in his name, it said they were. According to that reasoning, Jason, look at Jeremiah 14, verse 14. Jeremiah 14, verse 14 says that they were prophets prophesying lies in my name. Now, what does prophesy mean? When 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12, you see what a prophet is. That's somebody who speaks from the mouth of the Lord. Jason, according to your reasoning, these folks in Jeremiah 14, 14, we're actually speaking from the mouth of the Lord. You must not be understanding my argument, Jason, but from answering yours, he said, look at that. It says that the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Does that mean they actually prophesied? Does that mean they actually spoke from the mouth of the Lord? No. It means they were pretenders. They pretended to be God's prophets, but they were for prophesying lies. You see that? They were prophesying lies. They weren't truly his prophets, but they were pretenders. And so everybody turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 6. Here's a good case of where they were pretending. And we alluded to this a while ago. Write that up. Notice that Matthew 24, verse 5 and Mark 13, verse 6, which I believe both those passages were on this chart. Notice that the verses say that they came in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, this contradicts, he brought this up, but this contradicts Jason's position. Jason says that when you come in Jesus' name, that means that you say Jesus. You see that? In this case, it says that they came in his name saying, I am Christ. Jason won't baptize somebody. When he does, he won't baptize them without saying the name Jesus. He won't say, I baptize you in the name of Christ. That's not good enough. Now, he used this passage to try to prove his position that they were coming in his name. Well, according to that, they would have just said, I am Christ, Jesus. But they didn't. They said, I am Christ. So taking his reasoning, the formula should be, I baptize in the name of Christ, and you don't have to say the name Jesus. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you look at Mark 13, verse 6, coming in his name and saying that you're Christ, or saying that you're coming in his name, are two different things. Notice it said in the illustration last night with the word and in Mark 16, 16. Well, forget that for me. It doesn't have the word and in it. But it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, coming in his name and saying that you're coming in his name are two different things. They're two different things. We've already shown that from the passages like Jeremiah 14:14 and Jeremiah 20:9. And now put up his number six. His number six and number seven are about the same thing. He's trying to show that in the name does not equal or does equal say the name. So that if you see a passage like Acts 2:38, be baptized in the name of Jesus, that means say the name of Jesus. Of course, we've seen from Mark 13:6, that position will hold true, Jacob. This is the crux of the debate. This is the crux of the debate. Put up his number two real quickly. Jason, you've already admitted that we agree that a person should baptize in the name, but where we disagree is what that means. Okay? So now put up, Melody Reed, put up number 11, my number 11. And by the way, his chart number 7 makes the same point. Let me read a couple of questions that I asked him, and he's already read up the answer. I asked him, does the New Testament teach that healing was to be done in the name of Jesus? He said no. But then I asked him number two, does Colossians 3:17, and everybody turn there, Colossians 3:17 teach that whatsoever we do in word or deed, we must orally invoke the name of Jesus when we do it. In every case, for example, when Jesus makes lunch for husband, change the diet. He says Colossians 3:17 says that we must do everything that we do in the name of Jesus. Yet you just got through saying that you don't have to heal in the name of Jesus. You don't have to say the name when you heal somebody. So here's the argument again. He says Colossians 3:17 teaches that whatever we do in word or deed, we have to do in the name of Jesus. That's what the text says. He says that means you have to say or invoke the name of Jesus for us. Yet he just admitted in question number one, that when somebody healed somebody, they didn't have to say the name of Jesus, Jason. Now, I don't understand that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do you have to say the name Jesus or not, Jason? Everybody look at Colossians 3:17. That's what he says that it means. Whatever you do in word or deed, you have to say the name Jesus. And now he's saying, but when you heal somebody, you don't have to say the name Jesus. Well, in healing somebody, isn't that something in word or deed, Jason? See, what he's done is he's admitted that everything must be done in the name of Jesus, but then he admits that not everything that you do in word or deed, you must say the name of Jesus. Healing is an example of that. Therefore, he's admitted that doing something in the name of Jesus does not necessarily mean that you have to say the name of Jesus. You see that point, Jacob? Now, you admit that Colossians 3:17 means that whatever we do in word or deed, we have to do in the name of Jesus. Jason, does that include healing? Do we have to heal in the name of Jesus? Does Colossians 3:17 include healing? But then he says, in healing, you don't have to say the name of Jesus necessarily. Now, I don't think that's clear as day. Seems to me to be clear as day. While we're on this point, we'll come back to number 11. Let's put up number 3 and then number 4. Hopefully we'll have time to come back to number 11 after number 4. Everybody, while we're on Colossians 3:17, everybody look at this text. Now, it's critical in this debate to determine what it means in the name of Jesus, because it does say that you're supposed to baptize in the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38 and 4 or 5 other passages. Okay? What does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? Well, Colossians 3:17 is critical in this point. Read that. It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now notice, I asked him the question about, well, does this mean that you have to invoke orally the name of Jesus when you do anything? Like, for example, when mother makes lunch for her husband or changes his diaper, he said, yes. When mother makes lunch for her husband or changes his diaper, you have to invoke the name Jesus. That's what this means. And so, whenever mother makes lunch, verse 18, submitting to her husband, she has to say, I make this lunch in the name of Jesus. She has to say those words. Whenever David kisses mother, that's verse 19, right there in the context, loving his wife, he has to say, I kiss you in the name of Jesus. He has to, according to this reading. Whenever son takes out the garbage, or whenever daughter loads the dishwasher, verse 20, being submitted to their parents, they have to say, I take the garbage out in the name of Jesus, or I load the dishwasher in the name of Jesus. Whenever daddy spanks a child, verse 21, discipline their children. He has to say, I spank you in the name of Jesus. Whenever daddy drives a nail at his construction job, verse 22, talking about working, he has to say, I drive this nail in the name of Jesus. Now, either those things are true, or you understand that doing something in the name of Jesus doesn't necessarily mean you have to say that you do it in the name of Jesus. You see that? That's easy to see. Let's go over Colossians 3:17 again. Notice, we looked at Acts 2:38, it says, baptize in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Well, the same phrase is found in Colossians 3:17. Do this in the name of Jesus. But it doesn't just say baptism. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. The audience, you be honest. I don't want you to speak out loud. You just be honest with yourself. When you're at the job, and you drive a nail, let's say you're a construction worker, you always say, I drive this nail in the name of Jesus. Do you always do that? Is that what you say Colossians 3:17 means? If you don't do that, then you're admitting my proposition tonight. Or I should say, you're disagreeing with his proposition. You've admitted that doing something in the name of Jesus doesn't necessarily mean you have to say the name of Jesus. Because Colossians 3:17 is talking about all these things. Not just talking about baptism. It's talking about when mother makes lunch, when daddy kisses mother, when daughter loads the dishwasher, when son picks up the garbage, when daddy spanks the child, when daddy's working at the job. All of these things we must do in the name of Jesus. In other words, we do those by the Lord's authority because Jesus has told us to do them. Not that have anything to do with what we say, that has anything to do with what we say. And it's the same in Acts 2:38, the very same phrase. Now, help you understand that. Put up number 11 now. I want to go to an everyday illustration to help you understand that clearly. I saw an advertisement for a documentary about Charles Manson. This is an exact quote in this box, Wayne. It's a quote from an advertisement for a documentary about Charles Manson. I think you all know he's a famous murderer. But most of the murders he didn't commit actually himself, but his followers did. Now, they're probably trying to get you to buy a book about him or something like that. And they say, what goes on inside the criminal mind? How does a pathological liar, Charles Manson, instill loyalty so deep that his followers, move it over, Wayne, willingly, happily murder in his name? Now, this thing is saying that the followers of Manson willingly, happily murdered in his name. In other words, these people who are following Manson murdered in Charles Manson's name. Does that mean, I want to ask you this question, what does this quote mean? That Manson's followers invoke his name orally every time they murdered in his name. That would mean that every time they stabbed somebody, they said, I murder in the name of Charles Manson. Does it mean that? That it said they murdered in his name? Is that what the writer of this quote meant? The fact that they said that every time they did it? Of course not. This is basically what it means. That Manson's followers murdered as representatives of Manson, by his command and authority, acting on his behalf and promoting his cause. That's what it means, doesn't it? They were his followers, and they murdered to promote his cause, and because he told them to do it. That's what in the name means. When we do something in the name of Jesus, that means we do it because Jesus told us to do it. When they murdered his name, it doesn't have anything to do with what they said, and had everything to do with he instructed them to murder people, and they did it in his name in the sense that they followed his instructions. It was by his authority, and they were promoting his cause. So that's easy to see. Now, I asked Jason a question about this. I asked Jason this exact question. What does this quote mean? Now, notice they murdered in his name, in Jesus' name. Now, you would think, according to Jason's positional baptism, since you're supposed to baptize in Jesus' name, since that means you have to say, I baptize in Jesus' name, you would think that he would have checked this one. That Matthew's followers invoked his name orally every time they murdered in his name, but he didn't. He left this one blank, and he put other down here. He checked other. In other words, here's what he admitted. Notice it says that his Manson's followers murdered in Manson's name. Jason said that does not mean that they invoked the name orally, Charles Manson's name orally, every time they murdered in his name. He said it does not mean that. In other words, he's saying to do something in the name does not mean that you invoke orally that person's name. He didn't check this one, he checked something down there. It does not mean this. That's what his proposition says. That in the name means to invoke the name orally. And he says, it doesn't mean here. He says, no, in the name, doing something in the name does not mean to invoke orally the name. Now, that's very clear. And Jason, that's the whole issue tonight, really. What does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? We're agreed, as he's pointed out, that you're to baptize in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Does it mean to baptize?
1 minute.
Raise that up just a little bit. And when the Bible says to baptize in the name of Jesus, does that mean to baptize as a representative of Jesus by his command and authority, acting on his behalf, promoting his cause? Or does it mean that you have to invoke it orally? He doesn't think it means it here. As a matter of fact, put up my number 1. What exactly does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? Very quickly, I only have about 30 seconds. Well, according to a Bible dictionary, according to Thayer, here's one of the meanings given by Thayer on page 447. What does it mean in the name of Christ? To do a thing by one's command and authority, acting on his behalf, promoting his cause. That's where I got the phrase "well, that's sharp" from Anselm. I got it from that definition. Now, the New English, just English dictionary, the name of, in appeal or reference to, by the authority of, as a representative, and as belonging to. And so the Bible teaches that we're to baptize the name of Jesus to mean to do it because he said to do it. It has nothing to do with saying the name of Jesus, and he's admitted that in that chart. Thank you very much.